Well, you did it again. And you don't care. You make sure that no one saw you drive up. You shut the door. You close the curtains. You hit the delete button. You threw away the evidence. You made sure that no one saw you leave. You did it again, and you don't care. And you don't care because you don't think that what you're doing is hurting anyone else. It's your sin, and you keep it to yourself. But here's the cold, hard truth. You're not just hurting anyone else. You're hurting everyone else. That thing you saw, well, it's replaying in your mind while you talk to your friends, or your boss, or your teacher, or your mother, or your father, or your brother, or your sister, or your wife, or your child. You're distracted, and it's starting to show. That thing you did that no one else saw, well, it's coursing through your veins right now. It's ruling your mind, and you aren't fully present because you're still living with and in that sin. You're paranoid. You feel guilty because of it. It's beginning to hurt, and it's catching up with you. And at the same time, all those people who you thought didn't have a clue what you were doing, they're beginning to notice. And then finally, what you've done comes out. And those people who you love, they're crying. They're hurt. They're discouraged. They may even be tempted to sin themselves because of what you've done. And it's only then that you realize something that you wish that you had realized a long, long time ago. And that is that sin that you thought that only involved you and didn't hurt anyone else. Well, guess what? It just hurt everyone else. I want you to pay close attention to what it is that I'm about to say to you this afternoon. There is really no way at all to separate public purity or public holiness, if we want to use that word, from private holiness. There's no way to do that. I know that our topic is about purity in your private life, but there's no way to separate the two. You can't be truly holy in public if you are unholy in private. There's a word for the kind of person who tries to do just that. You know what it is? Hypocrite. And people will find out about it, whatever it is, eventually. You can rest assured. Back in February, Terry Crews, who many of you probably know from either the NFL or as the Old Spice guy. You may know him better as the Old Spice guy. He released a video on his Facebook profile called Dirty Little Secret. And I don't know how many of you have seen this, but this 20-minute video is well worth your time in watching, so I suggest you go and Google it whenever you get home today. But in this video, Crews describes how he had an addiction to pornography for many years. It started out, as a matter of fact, when he was 12 years old. And it finally took him going to rehab and getting professional help to be able to break that addiction. Crews, in his own words, says that pornography really, really messed up my life in a lot of ways. He described how he would spend hours watching it from the daytime into the evening without realizing how long he had been doing so. But here's the key about his pornography addiction. No one knew about it. That's why the video was titled Dirty Little Secret. It was his dirty little secret. And by not telling anyone, Cruz himself also points out that it gave that addiction more power over him, making it impossible for him to break on his own. He goes on to describe in that video how at one point his wife, who at the time, by the way, did not realize that he had this addiction, decided that she wanted to leave him. Even though she didn't know about it, she knew something was wrong. It still affected their marriage because that addiction emotionally detached him from her. She didn't know what it was. She just knew something was wrong and she didn't want to be a part of it anymore. And it's at that point that it couldn't be hidden any longer. Otherwise, it would have completely destroyed his life. What I want you to realize is that the very same thing happens to otherwise faithful Christian men all over the place. Maybe even some of you here this afternoon. And not just with pornography, but a number of different private sins. There's shame. There's the guilt. There's the burden that comes from carrying that sin around. And then there's the complication that comes from living what is, practically speaking, a double life to try and hide it. That person may be the great father or husband or deacon or even minister or elder in their public persona that everyone sees. All the while they are dragging around this unbearably heavy weight of sin. They're a slave to that sin, whatever that sin might happen to be. And they indulge in it to get their fix. They obey the chains on that sin rather than their Creator. And they buy into the lie. Pay close attention here. They buy into the lie that if no one knows, then no one is hurt, and there will be no consequences. Because it's private. In effect, what they're saying is, I have no sin. And as John wrote in First John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, then we're doing what? They're deceiving themselves. They are walking in darkness. And they are out of fellowship with God because of a sin that no one else knows about. In the end, I think it all boils down to one thing, and that is a lack of true biblical love. Look in your Bibles with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we want to just look at verse 9 for a moment. Here's what it is that Paul writes. And it's the beginning of a list of different things. Practical things that he's telling those who are the church in Rome they ought to do. One of the things he starts out with here is this, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. This verse and verses that come after it, as you read on, lay out virtues that are expected of a Christian. But as Paul often does, he starts with one major virtue right at the very beginning of that list, and that is love. And it's not just the sentimental kind of love, but it's the agape love that you read about, described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love of service, that love of sacrifice, that love that seeks the best for someone else in all circumstances. And notice as well, he doesn't specify what they are to love. He leaves that open-ended. Basically, what he's saying here is, have love. And in the love that you have, let it be genuine. You're just supposed to have love. Love for God, love for Jesus, love for your spouse, love for your children, love for your neighbor. Have love. And let it be without hypocrisy. Notice that's the next part. Some translations say without deception, or let it be genuine. Now here's the important thing to realize. It is apparent, as Paul writes this, that someone could have all the outward indicators of love and yet their love not be real. Let that sink in for just a moment. The outward appearance only serves as disguise for someone's ulterior motives and to hide something. He then goes on to mention two other things that describe that kind of love. He says it, first of all, hates evil and also clings to what is good. Now, both of these verbs, the hating and the clinging, are very strong verbs. This word hate or abhor in the New King James is more than just mild displeasure. It is an outright disgust with evil. It is a holy hatred of evil. And that second word, cling, is more than just a casual acquaintance with good. But it's the idea of holding firmly onto what is good. It describes a person firmly attached to good. Paul uses the same word over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, actually, to describe a sexual union. It's that kind of closeness with good. So here's the bottom line. You cannot have true love for God, for Jesus, your wife, your children, your brethren, your neighbors, while clinging to evil and only being casually associated with good. You cannot love in hypocrisy and please God. Any love that is less than genuine is not helpful, and it may actually be harmful because it's merely a disguise for evil. Maybe you're carrying around this weight today. Are you tired of carrying it around? Look at Psalm 34 with me for just a moment, and we want to begin reading in verse 11. And I think that David there writes something that should be valuable to think about concerning our discussion right now. He writes, beginning in verse 11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good." There it is. Depart from evil and do good. "Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit." How about you? Is your heart broken because of your sin? The good news is that you can break the cycle, you can break the chains that sin has shackled you with. The Lord can and will deliver you, as David writes there. His ears will be open to your cry if you seek righteousness. Of course, departing from private sin and seeking holiness and righteousness is much easier said than done, though, isn't it? Because if it weren't difficult to quit the sin that's holding on to you, then we wouldn't be having this discussion, would we? So very quickly, I want to give you four things to think about that I believe are helpful that can help take you out of the darkness of private sin and into fellowship in the light with God. First of all, confess your sin to someone who knows and loves you. Remember, one of the things that Terry Crews said was that in keeping his addiction a secret, it made it even more powerful over him. So long as you keep something to yourself, you can minimize it, you can compartmentalize it, you can excuse it, You can ignore what it's really doing to you. And because of fear and pride, that sin can keep its lock on your life. But there's one vital step that you can follow that will start you down the right path, and that is confession. In James 5 and verse 16, James writes, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Did you catch that? Confess your trespasses to one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The one another in this passage are your brothers and maybe even sisters in Christ. Now notice he doesn't say confess your sins to your doctor or confess your sins to your therapist or confess your sins to some random stranger on the road who will never have anything to do with you ever again. That's a lot of times easier to do, isn't it? But rather confess your sins to each other and pray for one another. And in doing so, you'll gain the second thing I want to mention to you. And that is get accountability help. Get accountability help. Christians are responsible for each other. And whether you like it or not, to a certain degree, you are your brother's keeper. And you have other keepers, or should have other keepers of you. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, a passage I'm sure most of us are familiar with, Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Other Christians who love and care about you are supposed to be helping take care of your soul. If you are overtaken in a trespass, in other words, if there is some sin that you are chained down, shackled down by, and you've become a slave to that sin, let your brothers and sisters in Christ become your partners in restoration. Let them help you with a burden that's obviously larger than you can bear. After that, you may need to see a specialist of some sort. But whatever you do, keep your brothers in Christ in the loop. Let them help you stay accountable for what it is that you do. The third thing, very quickly, is this. Put up guardrails. I'm sure everyone's familiar with guardrails. If you've driven down the road today, which I'm sure all of you did, you passed by some guardrails. What are they there for? Well, guardrails are there to keep you from crossing over the median or driving off into a ravine or going off a bridge into a river. Now, we would not by any stretch of the imagination consider someone a successful driver if they kept bouncing off the guardrails, would they? At least I know I wouldn't want to ride with you. But they're there for a reason, to keep something much worse from happening. If you want to cleanse your way before God, you have to put some guardrails in place. There has to be something between that sin and yourself. When that temptation comes, that desire that would lead you away, there's got to be something to hit up against. Maybe it's putting accountability software on your phone or your computer. Maybe it's never being alone, as someone has mentioned, with another woman other than your own wife or your own family. Maybe it's simply changing the way that you drive home so that you're not going past things that used to tempt you. Put a barrier there between you and sin. And number four is this. Don't forget to really struggle. I heard this from someone that often when we speak of struggling with a sin, what we really mean is that we're just continually giving in to that sin. We talk about struggling basically as a means of putting up a good face in the midst of it all. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 makes it clear that you and I are to withstand those things, to really struggle, to really fight, to not give in to whatever sin is, and to put on the whole armor of God so that in the end we might stand and withstand the attacks of the devil. Let me ask you this. Are you really doing all to stand in facing your sin? Never give in, because if you don't and you depend on God and His might, you will stand in the end. Let me close with this thought. There is no way to to separate public holiness and private holiness. Don't be a hypocrite, but let your love be genuine. Thank you for your attention.